Neimanen shut the door and walked slowly away from the barn. His mind was spinning as he tried to digest the catastrophe. Part of Savileshire MC's assets were in the form of bonds that he could access, and some of their investments could be reconstructed with Lundin's help, but a large number of them had been listed only in Goranson's head, unless he had given clear instructions to Lundin, which Neimanen doubted. Lundin had never been good with finances. Neimanen estimated that Savileshire MC had lost upwards of 60% of its assets with Goranson's death. It was a devastating blow. Above all, they needed the cash to take care of day-to-day expenses.
"What do we do now?"
Valtari said.
"We'll go and tip off the police about what happened here."
"Tip off the police?"
"Yes, damn it. My prints are all over the house. I want Goranson and his bitch to be found as soon as possible so that forensics can work out that they died while I was still locked up."
"I get it."
"Good. Go and find Benny. I want to talk to him. If he's still alive, that is. And then we'll track down Niedermann. We'll need every contact we have in the clubs all over Scandinavia to keep their eyes peeled. I want that bastard's head on a platter. He's probably riding around in Gordonson's Saab. Find out the registration number."
When Salander woke up, it was 2 on Saturday afternoon, and a doctor was poking at her.
"Good morning," he said. "My name is Benny Svantosson. I'm a doctor. Are you in pain?"
"Yes,"
Salander said. "I'll make sure you get some painkillers in a minute, but first I'd like to examine you."
He squeezed and poked her lacerated body. Salander was extremely aggravated by the time he had finished, but she held back. She was exhausted and decided it would be better to keep quiet than to tarnish her stay at Salgrenska with a fight.
"How am I doing?" she said.
"You'll pull through," the doctor said, and made some notes before he stood up. This was not very informative. After he left, a nurse came in and helped Salander with a bedpan. Then she was allowed to go back to sleep.
Zalachenko, alias Carl Axel Bodine, was given a liquid lunch. Even small movements of his facial muscles caused sharp pains in his jaw and cheekbone, and chewing was out of the question. But the pain was manageable. Zalachenko was used to pain. Nothing could compare with the pain he had undergone for several weeks, months, even 15 years before, when he had burned like a torch in his car. The follow-up care had been a marathon of agony. The doctors had decided that his life was no longer at risk, but still he was severely injured. In view of his age, he would stay in the intensive care unit for a few more days. On Saturday, he had 5 visitors. At 10 a.m., Inspector Erlander returned. This time he had left that damned Modig woman behind, and instead was accompanied by Inspector Holmberg, who was much more agreeable. They asked pretty much the same questions about Niedermann as they had the night before. He had his story straight and did not slip up. When they started plying him with questions about his possible involvement in trafficking and other criminal activities, he again denied all knowledge of any such thing. He was living on a disability pension, and he had no idea what they were talking about. He blamed Niedermann for everything and offered to help them in any way he could to find the fugitive. Unfortunately, there was not much he could help with, practically speaking. He had no knowledge of the circles Niedermann moved in, or whom he might go to for protection. At around 11, he had a brief visit from a representative of the prosecutor's office, who formally advised him that he was a suspect in the aggravated assault and attempted murder of Lisbeth Salander. Zalachenko patiently explained that, on the contrary, he was the victim of a crime, that in point of fact it was Salander who had attempted to murder him. The prosecutor's office offered him legal assistance in the form of a public defense lawyer. Zalachenko said that he would mull over the matter, which he had no intention of doing. He already had a lawyer, and the first thing he had to do that morning was call him and tell him to get down there right away. Martin Thomason was therefore the 4th guest of the day at Zalachenko's sick bed. He wandered in with a carefree expression, ran a hand through his thick blonde hair, adjusted his glasses, and shook hands with his client. He was a chubby and very charming man. True, he was suspected of running errands for the Yugoslav Mafia, a matter which was still under investigation, but he was also known for winning his cases. Zalachenko had been referred to Thomason through a business associate 5 years earlier, when he needed to restructure certain funds connected to a small financial firm that he owned in Liechtenstein. They were not dramatic sums, but Thomason's skill had been exceptional, and Zalachenko had avoided paying taxes on them. He then engaged Thomason on a couple of other matters. Thomason knew that the money came from criminal activity, but it didn't seem to faze him. Ultimately, Zalichenko decided to restructure his entire operation in a new corporation that would be owned by Niedermann and himself. He approached Thomason and proposed that the lawyer come in as a third silent partner to handle the financial side of the business. Thomason accepted at once.
"So, Herr Bodin, none of this looks like much fun. I have been the victim of aggravated assault and attempted murder," Zalichenko said. "I can see as much. A certain Lisbeth Salander, if I understood correctly."
Zalichenko lowered his voice.
"Our partner, Niedermann, as you know, has really screwed things up."
"Indeed."
"The boys suspect that I am involved."
"Which, of course, you are not. You're a victim, and it's important that we see to it at once that this is the image presented to the press. Miss Salander has already received a good deal of negative publicity. Let me deal with the situation."
"Thank you.
But I have to remind you right from the start that I'm not a criminal lawyer. You're going to need a specialist. I'll arrange to hire one that you can trust."